We're going to be honoring those that have served, but of course, Memorial Day has become far more than just honoring military. Today, we honor our families as well, those that have built into our lives. So we're going to start today reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, and I'll ask you to stand. We'll honor God's word as the Apostle Paul talks about some of the people that he honored. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phlegetus and Hermogenes. Father, as we remember those that have gone before us, military, non-military, Lord, many have built into our lives and given us the freedoms and the joys that we have today. Father, help us to honor them as we honor you. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. A group of friends a few years ago went deer hunting, and they were out there for a day or two. And one day they went out, and one of the hunters came back just at dusk. It was just turning dark. And he came back carrying an 8-point buck on his shoulders. But he had gone out, they had gone out two by two because they wanted to be safe with each other. You know, you always got a partner with you. So the men said, "Where's Tom?" And he said, "Well, I left Tom. Tom had a stroke or something, and he's back down the trail." They said, "You brought the deer, but you left Tom?" And he said, "Well, nobody would steal Tom." And if you're a deer hunter, you get it. If you're not a deer hunter, you don't get that, you know. The story is told because a dead animal sometimes in our sight can become more important than a living man. Sometimes we get our priorities all out of whack. Surprised to see an empty seat at the Super Bowl, the man that was seated next to a woman two seats down said, "Why is that seat empty?" Because those of you that are football fans, you know that Super Bowl, there's never an empty seat. She says, "Well, that seat was my husband's seat, but he passed away." And the man said, "Well, I'm just really surprised that one of the family members didn't want to sit in that seat." And she said, "Well, they would have, but they all insisted on going to the funeral." And he said, "When was the funeral?" "Well, it was today." You see, we can put the Super Bowl. Now, most women wouldn't do that, but I know a lot of men that probably would. They would miss their wife's funeral because it's Super Bowl day and they've got a ticket. Folks, it's really bad when we get that way. problem is, we get to the point where we don't think people are more important than things. Things are meant to be used. People are meant to be loved. The problem we have in our world is because of Satan's deception, we love things and we use people. Folks, we've got things backwards, and it's a sad thing to know. We should value people and use the things of this life. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, Luke talks about this. Someone in the crowd said to him, saying to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'" Folks, I don't know, I haven't seen it lately. It's been way back in the 60s and 70s when I used to see it on a lot of bumpers. Remember the bumper stickers people used to put on their cars? "He who dies with the most toys wins." Folks, that is absolutely not true. You can die with the biggest boats, the biggest home, the biggest cars, best cars, but if your family doesn't love you, guess what you've gained? You've gained nothing, because you're going to leave it. We chase after things and we totally ignore people. Some of you remember the name of Sophia Loren. Now, that'll age you quite a bit if you do remember her. She was a beautiful Italian actress. She was, after the Second World War, people just loved Sophia Loren. But one time, Sophia Loren had somebody break into her apartment and they stole her jewelry. And she was crying about it to the director of the show she was getting ready for, Victoria De Sica. And Victoria said to her, "Let me tell you something, Sophia." He said, "I've learned, I'm a lot older than you are, and I've learned this. Never cry over things that can't cry over you." You see, you can replace things. Doesn't matter if it's jewels or cars or homes, but you can't replace dad and mom. You can't replace grandpa and grandma. You can't replace your sister, your brother. They're worth weeping over because they can weep over you. Those diamonds don't care who wears them. They'll shine for anybody. Nothing wrong with diamonds, but don't lose your whole joy over a lost thing. We need to be careful. People are more important than things. I heard a story about a prankster who broke into a large, expensive department store, and he didn't steal anything. But he went around in there and changed the signs for the prices of the objects. Things that cost several thousand dollars, he had a dollar or $2 price tag on. Things that should have been a dollar or two, he had $1,000 price tags on. And that's what Satan has done to us. He's deceived us into thinking the most important things in life are my fame. The most important things in life are my wealth. The most important things is where I live and who I associate with. Folks, the most important thing in your life is the people that love you and that you love. They're the center. Spend your time with them. One preacher suggested that many people will spend $30,000, now not anymore, this is a little bit old, $30,000 to buy a new car. Now it's what, $45,000 probably to buy a new car? I don't even look anymore, way out of my range. But the idea is you'll spend $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 to buy a new car, but they won't give $300 to send their son or daughter to a Christian camp where they can learn to walk with God. People will spend $3,000 to straighten out their children's teeth, but they won't give anything to get them to Sunday school. Folks, it's so important we understand this, because when you put the wrong price tag on the wrong things get all your heart and all your value. We need to put the right price tag on the right things so that we're spending our lives, number one, for God's glory, because that's why we're here. Number two, being God's channel of blessings to those that we love with all of our heart and that love us. That's what life is about. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul gives thanks. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. God wants us to be those that look back and remember. Folks, you need to look back on your family. You need to look back on the history of this country. I just got a new book that I'm starting to read. It's 100 scripture verses that formed America. Our nation was founded on biblical principles. God really did miraculous things to get this nation going. God did bless America because America really wanted to serve God when we started. We are drifting, and I don't even call it drifting anymore. It's almost like our sails caught wind, going away from the things of God today. We need to turn that around. If we don't, the blessings that we have are going to be lost. We need to learn to look outward and love those while you have the chance. I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to that family members have not been together in 15, 20, 30, 40 years until somebody dies, and then they all rush together. Folks, it's too late for that person. We need to love people now. And we need to look up and honor our Lord. So first, look back and remember. This Memorial Day tomorrow, each of us should take some time during the day to reflect on those that helped make this nation a free nation. You live in the freest nation on earth today. You have more freedoms, more rights, more privileges than any other nation, because we were one nation under God. Our forefathers set it out especially that we would be able to live in freedom. We have freedom of religion. You can be any religion you want to be, and nobody's going to persecute you in America. If they do, they're going to be in trouble with the law. You can assemble with anybody you want to assemble with, and nobody can do anything about it. We have freedom of the press. I'm not saying they always report what we want to hear, but they're free to report whatever they want. If you went to Russia today, those things are not true. If you went to Iran today, those things are not true. If you went to Saudi Arabia or even Israel, those things are not true. We need to be thankful people. It's commendable. Our Lord wants us to remember Decoration Day. Decoration Day, Memorial Day, was set up first in the Civil War times to remember the Civil War dead, especially Union soldiers. But that changed over time. And now it's a special day when we remember our soldiers who have died in the active service. We remember our active duty soldiers. And we remember those soldiers that came back and didn't die, but served our nation faithfully. It's a day when we remember mums and dads and grandpas and grandmas. There was a time when I was younger And I heard this message, and my grandpas and grandmas were still alive. My mom and dad were still alive. But that's changed. And it's going to change for all of us. That's why it's so important now. If you still have a grandpa or grandma alive, if you still have a mom and dad alive, let them know that you appreciate their sacrifice because they sacrifice greatly for you. This is the time to do it. Not after they're gone and now you've got a fond remembrance. It's time to spend some time with the people that built you into the person that you are. We need to be thankful. Almost every community in our area and across the whole United States is going to have a time of assembly tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, no matter what community you belong to, there's going to be a time, a little parade. St. Charles used to be a huge parade because we had all the Second World War men marching down the road. They're all gone. There's not a single, as far as I know, there's not one Second World War man left in St. Charles area. They're gone. Then it was the Korean War guys. Some of you are watching. Maybe you go to those parades. I try to go every year. Now the Korean War guys are coming down like this. And us Vietnam era guys aren't much different, are we? We're starting to be a little humped over. Folks, it's going to happen. Those that you love, those that sacrificed, their time is coming. We're going to be gone. This is the time. I've read that on the average day, 750 people will visit the USS Arizona in Hawaii in remembrance of the day, December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese attacked, and thousands died. On Memorial Day, every year, instead of 750 people, 4,645 people go there. On an average day, 3,000 people will visit the Vietnam War Memorial. On Memorial Day, 7,600 people will visit. I just can't encourage you enough. If you possibly can tomorrow, take time to go to one of those ceremonies. It only takes about an hour and a half, but it's such an important thing for the soldiers who have served to know that people still care. When the people came back from Vietnam, they did not get a hero's welcome. It was absolutely awful the way our country treated those men and women. Now's the time to make up for it. Let them know you care. Someone once said, say goodbye to me, but not the thought of me. Folks, it's so important for us. We're going to say goodbye to our mums and dads and grandpas and grandmas sooner or later. But we don't have to forget the memory. The more time you spend with them, the more precious memories you're going to have. There was a man named Milt Rudd, and for many years he worked as a car salesman in Spokane, Washington. He was also very active in the Union Gospel Mission Church, which he belonged to, and he worked for years with juvenile delinquents. Every week he would sit with the juvenile delinquents and he would teach them the Word of God. One day, as he got a little older, he went to the doctor's office. He had some pain in his side and wasn't feeling good, and they looked him over and opened him up to check out what was going on, and they sewed him back up and said, you've got advanced cancer. You probably have a week to live. Send him home. And sure enough, within a week, Milt had passed away. At his funeral, one of the men noted, it's interesting, nobody asked how many cars Milt sold. But there was a whole parade of young men and women, those delinquents that he had spent his life helping, that got up and testified to his love for them. Folks, those cars are not going to remember Milt. It's the people that he helped that are going to remember him. Be sure that you're one of those people as you're going through life. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a nurse or a plumber or a janitor. What people are going to remember is not what you did and not much how much money you had. They're going to remember how you blessed their lives. Be sure as you're going, whatever God gifts you into, to use your life to bless others. We look back and we remember. In Romans 13, verse 7, it says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And I just want to talk just for a second about those last two. Your parents are deserving of your respect, even if they weren't the most wonderful parents in the world. They still invested in you. They could have aborted you, but they didn't. They could have said when you were born, I don't want that child, but they didn't. And they stuck by you, and we need to be those that respect and honor their sacrifice. Then we need to look out in love. We need to look out around us at those that we love, that love us, and we need to share ourselves with them. In Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, and if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are God's chosen person, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We have to learn how to love one another. Love forgives. People are going to hurt you. Your mom and dad, as much as they love you, from time to time, they're going to hurt you. And you're going to hurt them. But a family that can't forgive, a family that's never realized how much Jesus Christ has forgiven you, then you can't forgive one another. And I've seen families literally over something as silly as a car, what kind of car they bought. A son never talked with his dad again for 50 years before his dad died. Folks, is that ridiculous or not? No. The 8-point buck, remember? He's out on the hill dying, but I got my 8-point buck. My son didn't buy the car that I wanted him to buy. I'm never talking to him again. That's craziness. That's Satan working in our hearts, putting the wrong price tag on the wrong thing, and we're buying into it. We need to learn how to love one another. We need small and large things of love. Sometimes on Mother's Day, just a little flower. Doesn't have to be much. When our kids were little, they would go out, I'd take them out in the yard, and they'd pick a little dandelion. But my wife just glowed with that. Why? Because that little one thought enough of her. Doesn't have to be expensive, but something to remember. So we look back and remember, we look out and we love, and now this last one. We look up and we honor. Folks, no one, including your mother, your dad, your uncles, your aunts, no one has given you as much as the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. We need to look up and remember him. He is the greatest warrior this world has ever seen. He shed his blood. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for your life. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus is asked the greatest question ever asked. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Folks, that is the greatest commandment of all. If you can learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, he will do something for you that nobody else can do. And it's found in Isaiah 33, verse 6. If you've never memorized any Bible verse before, try to memorize this one. He, talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When you get in reverential awe for who God is and what he's done for you, he'll become all that for you. He'll become a sure foundation. You won't be here one day and over here change your mind the next day, and the next day you're into something different. You'll have an anchor for your soul. He longs to give you that, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. You know, when people look back on your life, it isn't going to matter what job you had. Jobs are important, don't get me wrong. If you can get a good education and get a really good job, praise the Lord for it. But there are people today that never got that education, never had those good jobs, but loved their families and spent themselves for their families, and their kids love them far more than many of the people that were some of the richest, most famous people in this world. And so love is the key to this whole thing. In Matthew 22, verse 36, as Jesus often did, when you ask him an important question, he'll go beyond that question and give you even more information. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest command. And now he goes beyond. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's so sad to see people loving the hand of God, in other words, the thing God's give, and loving the hand of other people in their lives, but they don't love God and they don't love those people. I can tell you people who had parents that were just wonderful, wonderful parents, gave their children all they could possibly give them, and the kids grew up without a loving heart. Folks, that's a terrible, terrible thing to have happen in life. But it does happen. Everything that you have today, whether you know it or not, your abilities, your good looks, or maybe not quite so good looks, whatever you have is a gift of God. Are you thankful for it today? In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. God has given us everything that we have. Some people will say, no, God didn't give it to me. I worked hard for it. Well, let me ask you, who gave you the ability to work hard? In 2 Corinthians 4:7, he makes a similar claim. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Everything we have, large and small blessings of life. If you had good parents, that's a gift of God because not everybody did. If you had grandmas and grandpas that loved you, many people never knew their grandpas and grandmas. You've been blessed. If you've got a pretty good education, if you're a pretty smart person, if you know how to get along with other people, that's all a gift of God. It's nothing you brought up on yourself. In 1 Peter 1:22, Peter says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this word is the word that was preached to you. I want to talk just for a second about verse 23 there. It said, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Jesus had something to say about being born again. The world scoffs at being born again, but Jesus said this in John 3:3, unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? Because that's such an important thing. I don't know about you, but I want to go from this place to heaven to be with my Lord. But if I'm not born again, I can't do that. So the question is, how do you get born again? The people of Jesus' day said, I'm an old man. I can't enter my mother's womb to be born again. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and blood and born of the Spirit, and that's where it changes. Water and blood is a physical birth. You were born one time when your mother and father came together and conceived you. That's physical birth. But you're born a second time when the Lord makes it known to you that you are a sinner. Folks, it's so important for you to understand that. How many are sinners? Every single one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you understand that. You understand that Jesus Christ, who is God, when we talk about Jesus, many people think he's just a great teacher. He's a prophet. The Bible teaches in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that Jesus Christ, before he was born of a virgin, was God himself, the creator of all that is. That God took on flesh. And that God bore your sin and mine on the cross. And all he asks of us is to place our faith in him as our Savior. And the Bible says you will be born again. Born of God. You become a son or a daughter of God. You know, when you're born in a human family, you become an heir of dad and mom. When my dad and ma died, they never had the great jobs and a great education. My dad went to the third grade. My mother went to the 11th grade and had to quit school because she was the oldest daughter and she had to take care of the other 10. Quite a family. That was depression years. And so she took care of her family. So we never had a lot. When my mom and dad passed away, each one of us eight kids, yeah, that's a lot today, isn't it? We had a small family back then, but each one of us eight kids got $200. That was the inheritance. That's all that was left. When you inherit what Jesus Christ has, how much do you inherit? You inherit everything. Everything there is, you're a co-heir. Is it worth having faith? Oh, man. One of these days, we're going to be so glad that we trusted in Christ. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world," and that's the world of men and women, boys and girls, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I'm going to put this old body off one of these days. And not very far away, I'm getting a little older. But I'm never going to die. Jesus said to Martha when her brother Lazarus had died, "He that believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." You see, I'm going to put off this body of flesh, but the Bible says, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. There's never going to come a time in history when Jerry Larkin's not going to be alive, because that's God's promise to us. Someone said an ingrate is neither in nor great. I hope you have a thankful heart to the Lord for what he's done for you. I hope you have a happy and a thankful heart for your parents, what they've done for you. I hope there's room in your heart to think of the soldiers, the men and women, down through the ages of this nation that have bought the freedom that you have today, the young people that are with us today, anything God created you to be in this nation, you can do that. Other nations, you can't do that. And that's because of what our great-grandparents and their parents did in this nation. They made one nation under God, and what they've passed on to us is that blessing of freedom that we have today. We need to be those that remember. Our Lord wants us to look back. It says, and again, I just want to stress to you one last time, don't get caught up with the way this world thinks. Don't think for a minute that things are more important than people. Because the only thing you're going to take out of this life with you is your life and the life of those like yourself that have loved Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 6:7, it says, "We brought nothing into the world." In other words, when you were born with absolutely nothing but yourself. You were just born. And you can take nothing out of it. No matter how many toys you have when this life is over, you're not taking any of them with you. And so don't get caught up in things. Things are wonderful. God said he's given us all things richly to enjoy. But people are what matters. Invest yourself in people. regardless of the vocation God gives, invest in the people where you are. Father, help us. Lord, it's so easy for Satan to turn us aside, to point out the wonderful things of this life. But Lord, it's the people, it's moms and dads and uncles and aunts and the people who sacrificed to make this nation what it is. Father, help us to miss people, but never forget people. Lord, bless us as your children. Give us thankful hearts. Help us, Lord, to leave a rich inheritance for those that follow us. And may freedom ring. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.